Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. All this weekend, we are taking a look back at some of the most compelling testimony from the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. Enjoy.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are going through and listening to various testimonies from the 28th of April, 2023, in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. We're now up to Deputy Coroner Cammie Wilmore testifying. Let's take a listen.
The state will call Cammie Wilmore.
All right, now that this witness has been sworn, before we begin examination, let me just inquire, have you reviewed any of the trial testimony in this case, either by listening in at any remote broadcast location or reading it on the internet or listening into it on the internet?
I have not.
Okay, thank you for your response. As you're being questioned, please make verbal responses to any question asked so that we keep a clear record and try to avoid speaking at the same time as anyone questioning you. With that in mind, Ms. Blake, you can commence with your direct examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name and spell it for the record?
Cammie, C-A-M-M-Y, Wilmore, W-I-L-L-M-O-R-E.
Where are you currently employed?
I am currently a Fremont County Advanced EMT, and also I am an administrative assistant at our seminary, the CES.
How long have you been an EMT?
At this point, about 14 years.
And as an EMT, are you trained in life-saving measures?
Yes.
And are you trained in responding to emergency medical situations?
Yes.
Prior to being employed as an EMT, did you work in the medical field?
Yes. I was a medical assistant for about 40 years.
Were you the deputy coroner for Fremont County in 2019?
Yes.
Do you recall when you were asked or when you became the deputy coroner?
I think it was February, March is when I started in 2019.
What are some of the duties of a deputy coroner?
I will go on calls when the coroner is not available or close to, I live in St. Anthony, so I would respond to ones in that area where she's up living farther away, and to go in and assess the body, pronounce time of death, try to gather information of why the person was deceased, medical history, that kind of thing.
And as a deputy coroner, do you respond out to unattended deaths?
Yes.
And what is an unattended death?
That's where they haven't been under, like on hospice or currently under a doctor's care, where somebody was not with them when they passed away. They were found deceased.
Had you responded out to scenes where someone ended up dying or was already dead as an EMT?
Yes.
Did you end up responding out to the report of an unattended death on October 19th of 2019?
Yes, I did.
Prior to responding out to that death, do you know approximately how many deaths you had responded out to in your capacity as a deputy coroner?
I was fairly new, so I think about five. I had gone on a few training ones, but my own was about five.
And out of those deaths that you've responded to as a deputy coroner, had you ever responded to a death which was determined to be caused by asphyxiation?
No.
When you responded out to the unattended death on October 19th of 2019, did you learn who the decedent was?
Yes.
And who was that?
Tammy Daybell.
Had you heard her name before?
I had not.
When you arrived on scene, who else was present?
Chad Daybell and officer from St. Anthony Alley is how I knew her.
And did you end up making any observations regarding Chad Daybell?
Yes, when I walked in, he was distressed, distraught, appropriately so, just saying that he found his wife dead, and I noticed that he was distraught.
Did you make any observations regarding Garth Daybell?
Not at that time. He wasn't in the room when I first came in.
Do you gather information from individuals on scene as part of looking into the unattended death?
Yes.
Did you do that in this case?
Yes.
Did you ask Chad Daybell about the circumstances surrounding the death of his wife?
Yes, I did.
What did he tell you?
He told me that about midnight that Tammy had gotten sick, coughing and gotten sick and gone to the bathroom and was vomiting. And he went in there with her and then came back to bed. She was okay, came back to bed, said she was okay, and then they had gone to bed. And he proceeded to tell me that she was in menopause and that she liked to sleep with her leg outside of the bed. And he felt like that's what she had been doing that night, that her leg had been outside of the bed. And he said that they'd fallen asleep, and then later on, he felt like he might have moved or rolled in the bed, and he heard her fall out of the bed. And he got up, and she was out of the bed with her head and body down and one leg twisted in the blankets, and she was cold and not breathing at that time.
And when you were asked to respond out, was there any indication as to whether or not an ambulance was being requested?
I did not think there was an ambulance coming because I was called by our coroner. She got the call, and then she called me and said, hey, can you go? You're 10 miles away. You can get there quicker than I can, and she said she would be coming.
And it was described to you as Tammy was already deceased?
Yes, yes. I was that's what I thought I was going to, was a death, yes.
Did Chad indicate to you whether or not Tammy's body had been moved prior to your arrival?
Yes, he said that he'd gotten Garth. And that's the first time I had heard that he'd gotten him to come in, and they had put her back on the bed. So she was not on the floor when I got there.
And did he describe how she'd fallen out of bed, if it was her whole body or part of it?
The leg thing, I think that was what he was trying to say to me about her leg hanging out, because he said that just one, I recall a leg was twisted in the blanket so that she was, I pictured hanging kind of with her head and part of her body on the ground. But I'm not positive that that's what he meant.
But he didn't indicate the whole body had fallen out from your recollection?
Yeah, I don't recall that.
Did you end up actually going in to observe the body?
Yes.
And did you, in fact, observe her body that day?
Yes, I did.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask to publish part of State's Exhibit 295 again.
You may do so. It's been admitted.
And for the court and counsel's benefit, I'm publishing 295C. Does that appear to be what you observed when you first arrived?
As much as I can remember, yes.
As part of your job as a deputy coroner, do you end up examining or looking at the body?
Yes, we do.
Do you recall if you made any specific observations regarding Tammy's body?
Yes, the first thing that has stuck with me the whole time is when I came in, she had this foam coming out of her mouth, quite a bit of foam. And I remember thinking that was odd. And she then touching her and feeling her that she was obviously had been deceased for a little while because she was very cold and she had the rigor set in. So that was my first impression.
And when you talk about rigor, could you describe a little bit what you mean by that?
The stiffness of the body, after a bit of time, different parts become stiff, and her legs were out, and so that showed to me that it had been a little while, because they weren't just hanging limp like when you first pass away. Different parts of the body, and depending on temperature of the room and the condition of the person, there's different time frames, so can't really say exactly how long, but she had been I would say a few hours, probably.
And do you recall approximately when you arrived on scene?
I got the call at 6 a.m., I remember, so I figured it was, you know, maybe 35 minutes later, 6:35, 6:40, something like that.
And you would have estimated her to have been dead before 6 a.m.?
Yes, yes.
And would you believe she would have been dead before 5:30 a.m.?
I would.
After those initial observations, did you observe anything else about the body that caught your attention?
I was looking, because you kind of want to look. She was 49, so I was like, this is unusual, because she's not that old. So I was kind of looking for things like on her neck or bruising, scratches, those kind of things. And I observed just some bruising on a bicep. I think it was her right arm and forearm. But they didn't look new. They looked more like an older bruise. I didn't notice anything weird that way. I mean, maybe her color was normal for being deceased.
And with the bruises, did you do any additional testing to determine when those would have been inflicted?
No, not at that time. I did not do anything.
Did you notice anything regarding Tammy's face?
Besides the foam? No.
And when you talk about the foam, does that appear to be what you observed that day?
Yeah, and that's they get like a pink frothy foam, like a bleeding. That's what I assumed that to be, like some blood.
Ms. Blake, for the record, what exhibit was just published?
Oh, I apologize, Your Honor. It is 295E.
Okay, thank you.
And you were saying with the pink foam?
Yeah, in my knowledge, I was thinking of things like congestive heart failure, something that I know that maybe could cause that with the pink frothing. And so my mind kind of went to that, and I was thinking, is she looking for things like swelling and things that would go with that? But I didn't see any other signs with that.
And did that pink foam, had you ever been to a death scene where you had seen that before?
I had not.
Did it cause you some concern?
It did. It caused me enough concern that I got my phone and I actually looked up poisoning, and I looked up foam from a dead person. I looked up poisoning just because I thought it was weird and I had not seen that before.
And with regard to her face, I asked if you'd noticed anything else. At any point, did you see any kind of an injury to her head that would be consistent with hitting a nightstand?
I did not.
At some point, did anyone else arrive on scene?
Yes, then Brenda Dye, our coroner, came on scene, and I was new, like I've said, and so I kind of deferred to her when she came in on scene.
And I guess I should ask, prior to her arrival, did you ask Chad about Tammy's health?
Yes, I did. I was trying to get a history. What had she been ill? Has anything happened? And he said that she'd had low blood pressure, hypotension, and she'd had a few little bits of feeling dizzy, lightheaded. And that was all he told me. He did say for the last month she acted like she hadn't felt well, maybe like a little clumsy. And so I began asking about like medications, because having worked in the medical field, I kind of can take a medication and relate it to an illness. And so I was asking about that, and she said that she didn't really go to a doctor much, and that on And I noticed right away on her nightstand there was like a homeopathic natural remedy book. And so I was like, oh, does she do this kind of thing for her health? And he said, yeah, she did the homeopathic type stuff. And so, again, my mind kind of went, oh, she maybe had something bad and didn't go to a doctor.
Did you end up looking at medications, whether herbal or over-the-counter or
yes.
prescription?
Yes, that's part of our job. And I asked to see medications, and they took me out into another room, like the kitchen off the living room, kitchen area was a cupboard, and I looked, and there was herbs and vitamins and natural type remedies in there. No medications that I could see to correspond with a medical illness that I was familiar with.
Did Chad indicate with regard to the fainting, or I think you said that she would kind of feel dizzy?
Lightheaded.
Lightheaded. Yeah. Did he indicate if she'd seen a doctor for that?
He said no. Like, I asked him that specifically. Like, does she go to the doctor for any of that? And he said, no, she didn't like to go to a doctor, to doctors.
And with regard to the indication of the low blood pressure, did he say whether or not that had been medically diagnosed?
No. And I, yeah, no.
And when you're on scene at these unattended deaths, do you have the benefit of reviewing medical charts or medical reports?
No.
Are you generally relying on information provided from family members with regard to health?
Yes.
And is that, in fact, what you did in this case?
Yes.
And that information was provided by Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And you said when the coroner arrived on scene, you were still present?
Yes.
At some point, was a further examination done of Tammy's body on scene?
Yes, I think Brenda did a little bit more. Well, there's two of us, and so I think I had gone out to look at medications. She was still in there talking. Now she's questioning him and talking and getting different, you know, her report from it.
And when you say him, was that Chad Daybell?
Yeah, that was Chad Daybell.
And you said when Brenda arrived on scene, you deferred to her and
yes.
she took over?
Yes.
As part of your job, do you end up determining whether or not an autopsy should be conducted?
As a deputy coroner, I would if I was the only one the coroner wasn't there. But as the coroner was there, that would not be my responsibility.
Were you involved in a conversation regarding whether or not to conduct an autopsy?
Yes.
And at the conclusion, was an autopsy requested at that time?
No.
Do you know if Chad Daybell requested to have an autopsy performed?
He did not want one. That was asked. Well, as we were discussing it, he was asked, and he said no.
Based on the observations you made at that time and the information provided to you, did you have concerns or questions regarding Tammy's death?
I did, and the two factors were her age and this foam.
Could there be a medical explanation, as far as you know, to explain the foam outside of some kind of foul play?
At that time, I didn't know of any. I have since looked. I looked up stuff just because I wanted to know. And there were some things that were mentioned, you know, that I've read about that there could be. I don't know if exactly like what I saw, but some foam.
At the time you responded out, do you also rely on external information if it's provided to you or if you know it?
Yes.
Had you ever heard the name J.J. Vallo?
I had not.
Had you ever heard the name Tylee Ryan?
No.
Had you heard the name Alex Cox?
No.
Had you heard the name Lori Vallo?
I had not.
Have you since heard of those names associated with Chad Daybell?
Yes.
If you had any of that information at the time, do you
I'll object, Your Honor. We're speculating here.
Sustained.
One moment, Your Honor. I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Cross-examination?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Wilmore, that'll conclude your testimony then for this trial. Is this witness to be released from any subpoena?
The state would request she be released, Your Honor.
Any objection?
No objection.
Okay. That'll conclude your appearance at court then. The bailiff will assist you in leaving the courtroom. Thank you for your testimony today.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We have more to come, more testimonies. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.